Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Kavanaugh, and this over here to my left is...
Will Alexander.
The one and the only young William. Yes, indeed. How are you, buddy?
I'm excellent. Thank you.
Excellent. We have a good show for you tonight, we hope. We're going to talk about the one and only, the other one and only, Westminster Kennel Club's coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about trolling on the internet. Come on. And new people into the sport, what you can do, what they can expect, and how we can get them involved in the future of our wonderful sport. All that and more, right here on the Dog Show Drive. Young William, how are you up there, bud?
I'm great, Wayne. How's it going for you?
Life's a cabaret.
Playoff season right now, so I can't think straight, Wayne.
I can't either, and that's because you stay up all night watching. Cheryl's like, did you do this? Did you write the minutes to do this? I'm like, actually, no, honey. But God, you just seen that goal in the late in the third period, one in the morning that I saw in California.
It's true. My God. And then I get tired and I end up missing the third period and you wasted all that time watching. One time, I forget which game it was. I was watching Edmonton and they were killing it. And then they lost. When I woke up, they lost.
I know. I have to admit, when I wake up in the middle of the night, I have my phone set to NHL scores. So I just go over and take a peek in the middle of the night. So sometimes now that I've got that down, I do depart watching the game, the late game, the first game, I don't care. I'm watching the whole thing. Ladies and gentlemen, there are games on the East Coast and West Coast. So the 7 o'clock games, typically 7 o'clock, are the Eastern Conference. And then you've got the Western Conference, which starts at the end of the 7 o'clock game, usually 9 or 10, and it'll keep you up all night.
Yeah.
So we're talking about watching the first one. I'm sure you're all fascinated by this.
Well, they are. But I'll tie it up with dogs a bit. See, I used to show Old English Sheepdogs for Stu Hyman. Well, Stu's son, Zach, played for the Maple Leafs, and now he plays for Edmonton.
Yes.
And I stayed up the other night and watched them play against the first round, which was the LA Kings, and Zach scored the overtime goal. So you got to remember, it's like almost 1 o'clock in the morning, my time. I stayed up to watch it. I was so excited, and I've known Zach since he was younger. I sent Zach a message right away. An hour later, he messaged me back. That's what a good person, a good kid that Zach Hyman is.
That's right, darn it. And we have another connection. The Chicago Blackhawks owner, Rocky Wirtz, has a beagle that he got through us. And Cheryl and I flew up on a little private jet with him to pick it up at Laurie Crandall-Meyer's, who bred him.
I hope he gets Connor Bedard. That's what I hope.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Anyway,
hey, so we gotta get on with the dog stuff.
Now, the next thing, non-dog sort of thing, is we have a lot going on this weekend. But Will, what was your weekend last? You went to judge in the United States of America.
I judged my first group in Wilmington at the Wilmington Kennel Club in Delaware, Chris Berg's show. I had the best time. My group was so deep, Wayne. I wasn't sure if I was going to make a cut because they worry about speed and whatnot. When I got out there, I had to make a cut. There were so many dogs in that ring that could have won or placed in that group. I had the best time. It was a great group.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah. You know, I had a great group of people that were there on the panel with me, Vicky Seeler, Jay Richardson, Eric Leibs. I just had a really great time there. Really great time. They made me very welcome.
Yeah. Well, it's a great group. And you got Chris Berg, and I know there's others that put that weekend together. And they even dealt with some weather situations. Oh. And they were so transparent about it. They posted on Facebook, hey, we're going to have a little difficulty. We're changing parking. Please bear with us. And they do a great job.
They had to cancel the last day. It was so bad. Yeah. So
these are veterans. They know, you know, they've been doing this for a long time. They show dogs. They know the sport. And they know what it takes, and it really makes it nice. It's a great sight, isn't it?
You know, yeah. If it wasn't so rainy and stuff, I'm sure it was beautiful. You know, but Daryl Heck was with us too, and she's Canadian. She has shown dogs for Daryl, and she was judging there too. It was a great spending time with Daryl too. So,
yeah, and you know they've got that setup where the RVs on a nice day, the RVs can park right around the show itself, the rings. They're so close that that you know it makes it so convenient for everybody, and that makes it just pleasurable and. All the little touches are there, you know, all the little touches are there. So I really enjoy, I judged there 2 years ago, I think. Might've been my second show back. And, I'm glad you had a good time, Will. And yeah, that group looked super strong.
Oh, it was very deep. It was a wonderful group. And then afterwards, on Saturday night, after the show, I went south to visit George and Mary Ann Alston to spend the evening with them.
The legends.
Oh, it was great. I had a great time. We stayed up and watched the hockey game. Mary Ann and I. After we went for dinner, went to a lovely seafood place, and George and Mary Ann presented me with this, not presented me, they gave it to me, this bronze Irish Setter, Rick Chassoudian, and it's just beautiful. I don't know what else to say. It's just beautiful. I'm honored to own it.
Yeah. I had the pleasure to see it electronically. And not only is it beautiful, the sentiment of George and Marianne, especially gifting it to you, is extraordinary. I mean, it's just.
Well, it's got a great story behind it. It was apparently made for Tommy Glassford's, when Tommy Glassford's father passed away, it was made for a trophy for him, to in memorial of him at a dog show. But that's why it was made. And so, so it's got a good story behind it, good Irish Setter story.
Yeah, just deep in Irish Setter history. And you know, great friends. I've known George and Mary Ann. Well, I've said this before they knew each other. That's how long we go back. And they are certainly brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and stuff to us. Oh, so yeah. Tip of the hat down there in Maryland.
I had a wonderful time. I really did.
I'm great. I'm glad you had a good experience. I'm glad you had good dogs. It makes it all the merrier. And you know, there are shows, Will, in Virginia and West Virginia, the same weekend.
Wow.
That's spreading them thin. And, you know, can you imagine if it was one show in the middle of those three or something, which would have had the numbers, because your class entries would have been three times the size.
But just the depth I had in the group ring, I couldn't imagine if it was the only show. Can't imagine what wasn't there.
It gives you a hint of what it's like to judge a group at the Garden.
Yeah.
Right?
Talking about the Garden, the Stanley Cup of dog shows.
That's right. Very good. Very good. Well, yeah, indeed. And, you know, that's coming up, of course. This is a big week in dogs. We have a big week in the world. We have hockey playoffs, very important. We have the Kentucky Derby Saturday. Yep. And I've been so busy with everything else, I can't even tell you who's running. And then usually
it's almost as big as the Westminster.
Yeah, it's the oldest sporting event, the oldest continuously held sporting event in America, the Kentucky Derby is. And the Garden, of course, Westminster, is second. And I always thought that we were second because we just wanted to give them a head start. Well, we knew
it was catching.
Yeah, we
know. Oh, are you kidding me? I'm here all week.
Don't forget to tip your bartenders and waitresses. But yeah, it's going to be great. So there's also a coronation of Prince Charles or King Charles,
King I guess. Charles,
so, right? Yeah. So I had a Prince Charles, and now there are Cavalier King Charles. So we've got the dog thing covered during the coronation as well. And there's always dog people that are interested in racing and horse racing. So it all comes together, Will. We got the hockey dog connection. We got the horse dog connection with the Prince Charles connection, King Charles connection for dogs. It's all one big week, Will.
Right. It's 7 degrees of separation. It's all there.
Yeah, and without Kevin Bacon, we still got
Kevin Bacon.
So, but you never know. He may have a show dog and a racehorse.
Right. Or his neighbor might, which is that. I get it.
I think he's King Charles' cousin, actually. I'm not sure. But I was thinking about an article that I wrote several years ago about Westminster. And, well, it wasn't about Westminster. It was about breed type. And it dawns on me, and I'd love to discuss this with you. The article was about how breed type, well, I guess we would all say there's only one breed type.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I think we'd all agree there's only one breed type. There's different styles, different kinds, but there's one breed type. But if you look at these things historically, it becomes apparent that breed type is fluid, because while the definition of breed type doesn't change, the interpretation sure has. An example of that, proof of that, Acadia Command Performance. Ed Jenner and Frank Sabella said the best poodle that ever lived, right? Up to that point, the best poodle they ever saw, the epitome of breed type. He defined breed type, he defined the standard. He did in 1973. He won Best in Show at the Garden, defeating Sagamore Starkoa, one of the greatest cockers that ever lived up to that point. Could either of those dogs compete today, Will?
You know what? I think they, I don't know if they can compete on the same level, but I think what's happened is obviously, you know, the evolution of presentation has changed. So I'm wondering, you know, because when Frank trimmed Command Performance, he trimmed them for, that's how they trimmed them. It was already evolved from 10 years before. He was landmarking things. Well, it's evolved even more since then. So would he trim them differently now? I bet you he would.
So maybe let's go to Copa Quinn's little sister.
Pardon me?
Let's go to Annie's, Ann Clark with Copa Quinn's little sister.
Yeah.
That couldn't be trimmed to look like toy poodles today. It couldn't. Poodles were longer and lower.
Yeah.
Shorten them up. We've changed their neck. We've certainly changed those fronts. And it's an interesting way to think of it, because I love today's poodles. I love the poodles of 1973, but they're different.
Yeah.
Do you think DJ would win today? This is Adam and James, yeah. The great English Mirror Spaniel, who won it in 71 and 72. You know, those dogs define breed type, but type hasn't changed. Our interpretation of the breed standard may have changed. Yeah. Incremental exaggerations, maybe.
Yeah, but it's interesting because you think about DJ, and he was a good dog. Like, he was a really good dog. Yeah. And if you took him back in 1971 and time traveled him to Ireland now,
yes,
I bet you'd still win.
He would in Ireland.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'd be as competitive here. Prima Donna, Erebus Prima Donna, the boxer, 1970. Yep. Don't think she'd fit in today. And these are dogs that at the time we all said, the greats in the sport, Ed Jenner, Frank Sabella, the greatest poodle of all time. Up to that point.
Yeah.
And I think they were. They met what people say, you know, they met the breed standard. I don't know what that means even, but at least they defined the elements of the breed standard and defined, in our mind back then, breed type. So how is it different today? It's not just presentation. We go that route a lot. And in some breeds, I believe it is.
Yeah.
But and then there's just coat. Bunny Tacoa or Binny. The Cocker Spaniel just didn't carry the kind of profuse coat that they have today. She had beautiful coat, beautiful textured coat. I thought she was wonderful. So it's interesting to think back on those dogs of the day that did all that winning and were the definition of what we looked for in the sport.
Well, it's so very generational too. Like you think, like I think back on my most favorite gardens. And one of my very favorites was when Mark won with Robert, because I was just captivated by that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's generational. You don't want to ever take that moment away from you. Have there been better springers? Well, maybe, you know, who knows? I don't want to think that, because in my head, that was a moment that was, it's been stamped in my head. That was an exciting time that once.
Yeah. Fonclair Festoon, 1961. Could it finish today? Don't think so. Capa Quinn, little sister, both Festoon and little sister were shown by Annie, Ann Clark, that is. And I'd say that Annie knew a great poodle, and she said they were great poodles at the time. So it is a thing of interpretation changing and exaggeration, maybe presentation adding so much to that these days. And should it? I don't know. I'm always concerned that there's too much emphasis on trimming and presentation, because it's not hereditary. You know, it's not one of those things that matters if you're evaluating breeding stock. So when we get to the point where the groups and best in show are so important on presentation and trimming, those things aren't hereditary. How do you, as a judge at Westminster, get into your breeder mode and not care about putting too much emphasis on presentation and trim because you're evaluating breeding stock. Is there extra pressure at Westminster to put dogs forward that you know are going to look good on TV? I hope not.
Well, I think it's probably human nature to some degree. Again, like we always said, it's icing on the cake. If you get a really good dog and he's presented in, or they are presented in immaculate condition and shown that, that's icing on the cake. But it shouldn't be the defining moment, that's for sure.
Well, that icing in that cake can set a breed's template new. Yeah. If a new dog comes on and we like the icing and he goes best in show or wins a group or something, that can set the trend for that breed.
Right. Yeah. You gotta be very careful. It's a huge responsibility, man. Huge.
It is. It's a big responsibility. And it's very hard to, I know a lot of judges have a hard time, not consciously, subconsciously, getting out of the presentation mode and into the breeding stock mode. We are evaluating breeding stock. And I hope we are all cognizant of that every time we walk in the ring. Because that's how
it's tough though, because I when I was showing dogs, I was a, you know, people would say, oh, you're over trimming this and over trimming that and blah, blah, blah. I had a few judges that they'd judge the breed and whatever. And they'd say they had to take me, Will Alexander, out of it. They had to take what I had done with that dog, that had to be taken out of it. And at some points that made me upset. I thought, oh, geez, I worked so hard at this and I still think it's a good dog, a good canvas that I started with, but they disregard me because of what I've done in the past. But
I have to tell you, I told a handler recently who I greatly respect, I said, I have to be careful going on yours because you're so darn good that I've got to really be careful and make sure you're not fooling me here. And that's part of the sport. That's part of the game. Now, on the flip side of that, I'm the first one to say I've had really good dogs that I couldn't do for on that day. And it wasn't they weren't showing well or weren't trimmed well. It's because I couldn't see what I knew was there.
Right.
I never got the chance to see the front that I know is there. I've judged them before. But on this day, they were so poorly put together, whether it was nerves, them having a bad day, or the footing, it doesn't matter. If we can't see it in those 2 minutes or minute and a half, can't point to it.
And that's why I try to tell my students, you know, you've got 2 minutes to sell your dog. They may, and you can say, oh, my dog looks great now. Well, he's not watching right now. You know, you missed it. You missed it. It's all outline and timing. That's what I push at them. But people are like, oh, they should be able to find it anyway. Well, it's not the way it is. You try it out there. You stand in the center there and have 2 minutes to watch these dogs.
Right. Yeah. If you get the, and I don't care if they go all the way around or down and back.
No.
If they take 5-6 moments. Good strides, yeah. I got what I can see what I need to see.
Doesn't have to be the full 2 minutes. Moments, right. You know?
Yeah. It's really seconds, isn't it, Will? Yeah. Because if they go halfway down and back, jumping and popping, but the rest of the time they're smooth and I can see it, I know it's there. Good enough. Now, when you get to the group level and best in show level, there's probably subconsciously, maybe consciously, more emphasis on those things because you're cutting the line so thin. The dogs are all so good.
Right. And yeah, as the levels change, it gets more difficult. My short career so far, I can reward a dog best of breed not performing well at all because, you know, they're the best water bottle out of this class of water bottles.
Yeah.
If I had to choose a water bottle, that's what I'm choosing to take home with me. But then you get in the group ring and there's a bunch of really good water bottles. Well,
yeah, it's tough. It's a real dilemma because we're number one, we're evaluating breeding stock, but you've got to be able to see the breeding stock, right?
Right.
One of my neighbors asked about judging best in show, a non-dog person. And I said, it's the easiest job in the world because you can't go wrong, right? The 7 best dogs in the world, right there before you. On the other hand, it's the most difficult job in the world because no matter which one you pick, there's going to be other people saying, well, I like the other one. You know, but as long as you go in there and do it from your gut and your heart, and not worry about what other people think, as long as you're selfish, Will.
As long as you're selfish, that goes through my head. Every time I've judged so far, be selfish.
Someone interviewed me yesterday about judging at the Garden. And I said, they asked me in sporting dogs, what are my final thoughts when I'm judging? my final thoughts are always the same. I say, well, first of all, I say to myself, I don't care about their record. I don't care about, I run that through my head. I actually run it through my head. It takes a second. I'm doing what pleases me. The other is, and I've said this before, I'm starving. I've got a single shot shotgun and one shell. Who's coming with me? And that puts me back in the mindset of function becoming more important, being more important than anything else, than presentation or fancy or beauty. No standard says anything about beautiful or pretty. I want to see, and sporting dogs this is, I try to say, okay, who can do this job best? Who's going to go with me? I'm really hungry. One shot. And I'm not very good. Which one's coming with me with the choke wide open? So there's different ways to approach it, but you get caught up in the moment and there's things going on. And all of a sudden, you know, you think you've got this down in your head, and then walk some dogs you've never seen before or heard of. And then there's one that you've heard of that looks like nothing the Photoshop pictures look like. It's so much fun to sort through that.
Oh my gosh.
In 2 minutes.
And the feeling you get when you think you've found, and you look through the class, you think, oh my God, look at that. Where did that come from? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fun stuff. And you get those opportunities sometimes far and few between, or is it few and far between? Yeah, I guess it's few and far. But we know when we are in those positions, we're honored and thrilled to be in those positions. And I'm so glad you had a good opportunity in Delaware. A good start with such a strong, it doesn't always work that way. There are groups you walk into and go, I don't want to give anything to the group.
Yeah. And that gets, you know, I'm sure I'm going to come across that in my career. And hopefully there'll always be something there, but I mean, the depth won't be the same. You know,
I love getting my reports from my buddy, Ken Murray, after he judges the weekend. He's so serious about this, and I'll go through it. There was a whatever puppy that, boy, I can't wait to keep an eye. He gets excited about it every time. And that's what it's all about. Keeping excited, keeping passionate about what you're doing. And then he'll say, oh, I had nothing in the group I wanted to do for. And then the next time, oh, the dog that was 12th in my cut could have won the garden. You know, that's when it's fun. That's when it's fun. So we hope we keep that in our minds going forward. I'm really looking forward to seeing not just the dogs, but friends from all over the world. Oh, you know, Frank Kane, my buddy Frank, will be there. Really,
he must be staying here because he's in a lot of panels coming. Even up here, he's in a panel. So,
is he really? Yeah, he probably is. He just gave me a great book recommendation. So I finished it and messaged him and said, "What's next?" And he immediately shot back the next book. He might be here. Isn't Bucks in Trenton this weekend?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And that's new because of the new garden dates. So we, you know, you could stay here. I don't know what the exhibitors are doing, if they're going there too and shuffling back and forth.
A lot of them are going from there to the garden, or Westminster, obviously. So,
yeah, I guess if you're from the West Coast, you get your dogs acclimated and settled in. And
yeah. Well, there are some dogs in Delaware that are here for the Westminster. So
really,
yeah. Hmm.
Good stuff. Well, I want to get to a couple of emails that we missed. We should probably explain what happened last week. Will, we, for the first time, this ever happened, and we've been doing this for almost 2 years, or maybe more than 2 years. Yeah. We lost the podcast and went up into the Ethernet.
Out in space somewhere. If we ever find it, maybe we'll broadcast it. But I have everybody looking for it. They can't find it.
So we apologize for not having one. And the week before was a family emergency for me. So we had a little bit of a layoff. And don't think we made it up so we could watch hockey. That's just not true.
It's not what I do, people.
It is a coincidence. I had
an email. I just said that.
I had an email from
someone. I wasn't feeling well, honestly.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, this morning, Will is the early one. So when he says we're going to record at 8 o'clock, 15 minutes before the link is up, and he's like, where are you? So today, I get on early, and I don't hear from Will. And now I'm getting worried. Like, what happened to my buddy? Did he fall? Is he okay?
It's 802, people. 802. He thinks he's George Ward.
I'm text him. Are you okay, buddy? Are you okay? I'm worried. I'm going to send the police to check your house. Did you fall?
I forgot to press send.
That's all it was.
I had everything set up. I was sitting here. I was waiting. What the hell is that, Wayne? It's 802, for Christ's sake. Oh, I forgot to press send.
But you should know that we look spectacular now because we've got our lighting done. We've got our new microphones.
Yeah, we're ready for the big time, Wayne. We're ready.
We are ready for the AAA team. We're ready for the big time.
I bought a new cap yesterday, and you guessed who it was, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, the Argonauts.
Toronto Argonauts. They just had their draft this week. So we're getting ready for CFL football, baby.
I don't know a thing about it, nor do I care. Not CFL, any football. I watch towards the end, I'll catch a couple games. I used to watch every damn Giants game. Cheryl and I, when we first were married, we didn't have any money. We had a TV, and we sat in the kids' room with the TV on. We'd watch the Giants games every Sunday. And that was a long time ago. And then we lived in Atlanta, went to the Braves games. We were there at least twice a week. But we just got too busy with life. So not a lot of sports except for hockey.
I used to go to a lot of CFL games with my buddy Joel Panero. We used to go to a lot of Argo games. And, my grandfather was adamant. He would not miss an Argo game.
How about that? I didn't know it was going on that long up there.
Oh, yeah. It's an old franchise.
When Doug Flutie went up there, it was the first time we ever heard of the Canadian Football League down.
He was great.
Yeah, that was a big thing. Bob Forsyth used to love Doug Flutie when he was in college, and he loved following his career. And we used to talk about it all the time when I worked there. I got an email from Tate Massey. And Tate, I do not know Tate. It's a really good email because it's a person who's not in the sport yet and listens to the podcast to try to learn more about the sport, I guess, and hockey. But it's really interesting. The questions are so good, Will, and it's a long one, so I'll just read a few of them. He's interested, Tate, I don't know if it's male or female, so apologies. I could simply dip my toe in handling as just a fun thing, could they just get a puppy and go in there for fun? Of course you can. Of course you can. But the concern is where to get the dog, right? I'd love to learn the ropes of owner handling or co-owning my next puppy with a breeder for the purpose of showing it so I can learn. So here are specific questions. Is it reasonable to think that when I get my next puppy, I could simply dip my toe in handling as a just for fun thing? Of course it is.
Yeah. That's how we all start.
You might want to go to handling classes. You might want to, if you can't find a breeder that's willing to help you through that, find another breeder. A good breeder would want you to succeed with whatever they're selling you. And they should be able to help you, line you up with handling classes or lessons, or assist you at the shows, get you on your way. So I would be interested in finding a breeder, Tate, that is willing to take you on that journey. Is it reasonable to think, do breeders encourage that for new hobbyists and folks? I think they do. I know they do. A good breeder would.
Oh, I would think most of them do for sure.
We would love new people to join the sport. And the way to do that is to help someone get a nice puppy. Now, it's difficult because you never know who that person is going to turn out to be. And one of Tate's other questions is, I understand many puppies will be sold on a spay-neuter contract, which would limit my amount of things I'd be able to do, which leads to my next question. How can I prove myself ahead of time to breeders that I'm certainly interested, sincerely interested in a dog I could show or at least assist with showing in the future? Is it a gamble? I imagine it's a gamble from the breeder's perspective to give a show prospect to someone like me. Well, what do you think? Well, go to shows, right?
That's right. Go to shows. I think I've mentioned this before. I have a part in my seminar where I talk about standing on the shoulders of giants, and that's going to the shows and say you want to buy the best water bottle you can possibly find for your first water bottle, and you watch water bottle judging each day and you see who is dominant. It's easy to figure out who is consistently dominant in a breed competition, and that's who you start talking to. You really do. It's it. I don't think it's rocket science to start off on the right foot.
I know it's intimidating. It's hard for us to get in those shoes, but it's intimidating because they're talking our language, a different language, and they're busy and there's anxiety and going into the ring and coming out of the ring, and yet your timing has to be right. But when you see that the people that are winning, and many of them might be handlers that are running off to the next ring, they're not being rude, they're just busy. Mm-hmm. But if you're there and you spend time, and you, I would suggest you go to a specialty of some sort. We have shows that are called regional specialties and national specialties. If you have the time and the resources to go to a national, no matter where it might be, that's going to be the big payoff.
Yeah,
they're going to be
You'll figure it out there. You'll start seeing the consistency there. Even if it's not winning, you'll see which ones you like the most, type-wise.
And people have time that are national. They're going to sit there all day watching just water bottles, hundreds of them. And that'll give you a good exposure to them. That's a great way to do it if you can. They're only held once a year and they could be far from where you live. Regional specialties, however, also offer that kind of time where they're going to be, there's going to be a bigger entry. And that will usually give you more opportunities to talk to people. I had, and I mentioned it before, Amit Singh, a young man I met at a show. I could tell he was there to see what's going on. He had a backpack and he was all interested. You could just see he's running around looking and so excited. I introduced him to a couple of breeders. They introduced him to some other people. He was off on his own with the people from that club. And he just went winner's dog at a specialty with a puppy they got for him and helped him and taught him how to show it, gave him lessons. And if you get a dog from a good breeder, they're going to want to know, they're going to help you feed it, tell you what to feed, what kind of exercise, what routines you might want to think of. It's going to be a whole process. People say, oh, I spent so much money to buy that dog from a breeder. You didn't just get a dog. You had a lifetime of experience that they can share with you. And if they're not willing to do that, like I said, move on to another breeder. Talk to people. If you're just there and you're asking questions and you're respectful of their time, especially if you can have a big enough entry, you're going to learn, Tate, and you're going to really find out who's there to help you. And I would not be surprised. You may find one jerk along the way. That's true in every setting of every world there ever was. But you're going to find good people who want to help you. And I think you're going to enjoy it because when you meet new people, my son's new to this. He started about a year ago. Now, he was brought up in the area of the sport. He wasn't at the shows, but he knew what we were doing at home. He's been, people have taken him under his wing the day he walked in as a new guy with a new dog. And he's gotten help from professionals, from owners, from exhibitors, from show committees, from reps. Once you get in there and get your feet wet and introduce yourself, you're going to find a great new family that you'll be hanging out with for a very long time. Not to mention a great dog that you'll be thrilled with.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. And like if you are, you present yourself well, you're going to be accepted. You're going to be accepted. If you come off as a jerk yourself, well, you're not going to be accepted.
Tate, if you're a jerk, I'm afraid we have no help for you.
That's right.
But speaking of that, this brings me to something that's near and dear to me. Do we give these people the time we do? If you're a breeder, if you're an exhibitor, if you're a professional handler, spectators don't know that. You can't just assume they're going to know what you do. So be kind back. And if we want to keep growing the sport, you've got to reach out and help the novices.
Oh, we have to look approachable.
Look approachable. That's a good point, Will. Look approachable.
For a while there, some of us were getting too elitist and not accepting people.
Yes.
I think it's turned the page a bit, though, if you look now. People are more approachable.
Yeah, I hope so. But you're right. Look approachable. When you see someone that looks lost or looks like they're new there, go ask. And they might say, I'm an agent. I've been doing this for 40 years. No. I just look like I've never been to a doctor before.
I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV.
Exactly. But thanks for the email, Tate. I really enjoyed it. And they were great questions. So thank you very much for getting down that road. Will, you had a couple things.
Yeah, I had a few issues. Dry cleaning. Pardon me?
Besides dry cleaning.
Yeah, I have my list in front of me and I was going through it with Wayne. I'm like, and I have a couple of topics I want to talk about. And then I had dry cleaning. So somehow my daily list got involved with my podcast list.
But, just don't go to the dry cleaner and say, I want to talk about the Chesapeake National.
Well, I was a little concerned. We had a show a few weeks ago, Guelph Kennel Club show. And a lovely show. And old club, been around forever. Well, and we had a good panel of judges there. Well, we started seeing each evening some Facebook rants about judging. And it was from the same party over and over again. And they weren't just upset that they lost, because obviously they lost. You could tell they lost by their manner in their posts. But they started getting personal about judging appearance, about judging judges' demeanors. It got to the point where it was uncomfortable to read, and I stopped reading them. But some of them were sent on to me because they wanted me to be aware of what was going on. And it wasn't fair to the judges, obviously. But you could just taste. They didn't come out and say they lost, but you knew they lost. you knew they lost. I guess it's called Facebook trolling. I don't know what it's called, but they were they were very tough on the judges that were at the show judging. And it wasn't like the judge report card tough. They were personally tough. And I think they crossed the line as far as I'm concerned.
They were mocking the judges' physical attributes.
Right.
Right. I mean, come on, people. It's rare. It's rare. When you think about complaints, well, for example, motorhomes have their groups, right? Their Facebook groups for Tiffin, for Newmar, and people complain on there. And once in a while, someone will say, you do know that people who love their motorhome and have had no problems never post on here. The only people we hear about are the ones that complain, where 99% of the content is positive and upbeat.
Right.
Dog show report card down here, is it, do you have the same?
Oh, yeah, we have somewhat of the same, yeah.
Its intent is so good. And so many people go on and say, I have a puppy, he's a little jittery. What do you think about these judges? Do they take the time with puppies? Are they more puppy friendly than other judges? That's great. That's what it's for. Rarely do you see someone rip on a judge's placements, but when they do, you might as well put a sign on their head, I lost. Yes. You might as well. I didn't think I was going to get to this, but there was a really bad one. And it was certainly someone who lost, about a judge on the report card. And boy, it sure looked like a bit of a setup to me, but whatever. I don't know the people. They may have a good reason. I don't want it to take a side. But it was about a judge who is really good and really patient and friendly. And everybody jumped on. Hundreds of responses saying, are you kidding me? This is one of the best judges we have. He's a wonderful person, a great human being, takes great pride in what he does, is friendly to everybody. And that's the kind of response you want to see.
Right.
Where people just jump on. And they were polite about it. They weren't saying, are you an idiot? They were saying, I don't know. This guy is really good. You get to the point where I don't do it, but a judge has every right to respond to that. And if a judge goes on and says, hey, I understand this was said about me and you have your point of view, I respect it, but let me tell you what I think happened that day, where I'm going with this. We don't want to get into those banters all the time. It's just a waste. But once in a while, it's going to happen. And I support both sides in doing so. But try to be more positive. We're so grateful to have this sport. We learned during the pandemic how we missed each other. Let's remember that. Let's remember how much we missed it. And when we came back, how helpful everybody was to each other. Let's keep that spirit going. There's no reason not to.
Exactly. And like this poster was going on about Canadian judges. You live in Canada and you're going out with Canadian judges, don't come to Canadian dog shows. Simple as that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, geez, you lost. We get it. You lost. But keyboard warriors will.
I know.
And I know
these people personally, when you cross the line, you cross the line, you know?
And sometimes people have a bad day or a bad moment. Sure. For that, I say you have a delete button.
That's right.
You have a delete button. If you wake up the next morning and go, I shouldn't have said that, delete.
Delete. I agree.
Gosh, there's a couple things in our lost podcast that I wish
we could. Lost podcast, the lost tapes of Wayne and Will. Someday it's that's like, going to be found in a time capsule. And so, look, I found the lost tape and it's going to be worth, I don't know, a lot of money.
I think so. Probably even more than the Beatles. I said the Beagles.
Of course you did.
And the Beatles lost tapes.
That's right. Yeah, the lost tapes of Wayne and Will.
We did talk a bit, and it's a longer topic than we have time for today, about, I started by saying, when I was in high school, I worked at an Italian restaurant, a fairly fancy one near New York in New Jersey. I was 18 back in the drinking age, because the sentiment was whatever the Vietnam War was, if you were able to go get killed, you're able to buy a beer. So the drinking age was 18. And I remember vividly saying to the owner, how do I know when to ask for ID if someone orders alcohol? And he said to me something that stuck forever. He said, if you have to think about it, don't. I mean, if you have to think about it, do it.
Yes, yeah.
If it crossed your mind, should I proof them? Yes, you should. The sort of reverse, but same happens in our sport. Can you go to dinner with an exhibitor before the show? Don't. Just don't. If you have to ask yourself that question, don't. Should you sit with the owners of a dog you're going to judge the whole weekend? Just don't. There's no rule against it, but just don't.
And it's not saying, we're not saying you're a crook or your integrity is a question. It's just perception. It's just definite perception. Like, the same thing happens with young Adam, used to always call me and asking me questions. Not like that so much, but I would say just the sheer fact that you're asking me this question, you know the answer.
So. That's true, Will. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. If it looks bad, you're just hurting yourself. No, like you said, no one's saying you're a crook. It just look and think about the new person who's only in the sport a couple of years, and they see this and go, ah, see?
Told you. That's the neighbor's cousin who once had a dog owned by the newspaper boy of that person. Yes. That's how
close. By the way, we have people in the sport. There's always a couple people in the sport that have a conspiracy theory for every ribbon, and that's just funny. I love listening to those
people. I love them too. I'm like, tell me how you came about that. I think it's hilarious.
You really think we stand out there in the ring going, now, wait a second. Yeah. I think
they own the same Volvo that my parents owned and the same dealer. I'm going to give them the breed.
That's how it goes. Oh, my. Give it a rest. Sometimes we're just evaluating breeding stock. If it has to cross your mind. But you have to be mindful of these things, and it can be who you stay with, who you have dinner with. I've been asked more than once, just happening recently, a couple of handlers who I've known forever, the judging was over, wanted to have dinner. I thought, you know what? There's still dog show people around, and I just judge your dogs. I did for some of you and didn't for others. That's just wait. Yeah. Take those, you know, when you have those thoughts, think about them and spit them out and say, like you said, Will, if you ask the question, you already have your own answer. Yeah. So, yeah, well done. Anything else, young William? I know you've got a full plate. I do too. I've got a pack. And how do you pack for Westminster? What do you need?
Oh, my God.
Beamer trunks?
Hat and a smile.
Yeah. 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 Get the tuxedos, Will. Get the tuxedos going.
I've never worn a tuxedo at Westminster.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't unless you have to.
Oh, I like tuxedos. I like, you know, James Bond. James Bond.
You look just like him.
I know. I like that part. Yeah. It's just one of my favorite parts.
It could be confusing. If you put a tuxedo on New York City, you're going to get hassled for autographs all day.
I might have to just show up because of that. So I've been singing, I don't know if you guys heard, but Gordon Lightfoot passed away yesterday.
He did.
Yeah, it was, and it was horrible because he's huge up here. He's an icon up here. He's an icon everywhere, I guess, in the music industry. Yeah. But in that song, "The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald," he talks about the Mariners' church in Detroit, how they rang the bell 29 times for every pastor, every one of the parish in the Edmund Fitzgerald. Well, yesterday they rang it 30 times, one more for Gordon. So.
Wow, yeah. I did not know that. Yeah. How cool is
pretty
that?
Cool. Gives you a bit of chills, doesn't it? So
I just got the chills.
Yeah,
I
gives you a bit of chills. Yeah.
Wow, that is really cool. Well, he was an icon here as well. We all knew he was Canadian, but I think we did. But we knew his music and some of his songs. Well, all of his songs and all of his music were so personal and so wonderful. So
they were wonderful. They always go like I was singing them all day yesterday, and people were all like, "Stop it!" You know, and you're singing "Sundown."
We had
down. I think it's a shame.
Yeah, yeah. When it's an unfortunate thing when you're at the age where half of your music legends pass away. What we do here is we say, "Alexa, play Barry Manilow." Oh, no, he's not dead. Burt Bacharach.
Not yet. He just got a new nose job. He's not dead.
We had John Prine playing forever. And then we had Burt Bacharach playing forever. And now we started playing Gordon Lightfoot. Hey, Alexa, play Gordon Lightfoot. And all those songs go.
I can see your line back. He just had that voice that just, always, it was in your head, you know.
Yeah, so unique and just great stuff. We have lots of shipwrecks in Lake Michigan.
No, God, yeah.
And it's fascinating to see those lighthouses. I've gone up to those lighthouses. And when you see how narrow a passage is when they have to come in through that passage, those lighthouses were seriously important in guiding people in to the Great Lakes in and around the Great Lakes.
It's interesting how he wrote that song because he read an article in a Detroit newspaper about Edmund Fitzgerald, and it was interested him so much he started researching it and he wrote the song.
I did not know that, Will. All that and more right here
on the Doug Show Drive.
All right, bud, we got a pack.
Yeah,
you got a pack.
Yep,
you better
I've got work there. To do. I got things to do, Wayne.
If you don't come and give me the hand signals, you know, pulling on your ear and touching your nose, how are we going to know what to do?
I'll do my Vulcan mind meld.
Right.
From Star Trek. Or is it Vulcan tuna melt? I can't remember. I always get that mixed up.
Well, you can tell. I have an Apple Watch now, Will.
Ah.
I have an Apple Watch. I broke down. And the first thing I did was got the clock face that looked like a regular old watch with numbers. Yeah, that's how old I am in my technology brain. But I got to tell you, it's pretty cool. And you can text me who to put up when I'm in the room.
Like James Bond. That's interesting, you know, because when Alice and I were together, we always envisioned what we'd be like as older judges. And I envisioned her as Mike Macbeth, or Mike Billings. And she envisioned me as Richard Renahan. An older version of Richard Renahan. And that's what the thing was. That would be... I'd be in the middle of the ring, wandering around aimlessly, like without a, and she'd be in my ear going, "Put up the Springer, put up the Springer, put up the Springer." And I wouldn't be paying attention. And finally she'd say, "You idiot, put up the Springer." And I'd say, "You idiot, put up the Springer." So
it happens. Stay tuned. Live streams of the breed judging.
They'll look for my earpiece when I'm out there, people.
If I'm looking at my watch, please don't think I'm getting texts.
Oh, there's Will checking on Wiener.
I better not wear a watch.
Are you on crack?
No, not now. It was a live stream. It'd be worse. You could be guiding me through, right? Or I could be guiding you through, whatever. It could be fun. Anyway.
Yeah, I'd do that if you had my family held captive somewhere.
Anyway, if you, I'm sure you all know this, but maybe Tate and others that are listening that aren't that involved for a long time, it live streams on AKC TV, I believe.
Yeah.
All the breed judging can be found there. And the groups, of course, are on Monday and Tuesday night. I think it starts at 7. And
that's the on first Fox. Night. Well, what Fox network is that on?
I don't know.
Up here, it's going to be on the Westminster YouTube channel. So.
Ah, there you have it. So you can always find it if you check your look at your TV guide. That's what you got to do.
Is there still such thing as a TV guide?
I don't know. How could they do it?
Yeah.
I have 5,000 channels on my TV.
Yeah. If you have a TV guide, you don't need a TV.
That's true.
Oh, I'm here all week, people. Come on.
For you young whippersnappers, the TV Guide was a publication, believe it or not. It was a little book that was magazine, but in sort of like book size, smaller, that came to your house so you would know which TV shows to watch. And you would, if your grandmother would have a pen and she'd circle the shows, usually the soap operas that she wanted to watch during the day. And there were some articles in there about those shows. And now we have a writer's strike, so there are no soap operas.
Well, and it's funny, the TV Guide, though, because the TV Guide was like, you waited for it to arrive. And there were some people, especially if you watch Seinfeld, you know, because George Costanza's father, he collected the TV Guides. And I'm sure there's they got those stories somewhere. I'm sure some people out there did collect the TV Guides. Do you have the one with the Charlie's Angels on the cover? Of course I do.
Now you can just pick up the remote and say, hockey.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's like the Jetsons now.
Yeah, I have, we just stream now. We don't have any cable. We cut the cable. We have YouTube TV, which is half the price, much better. And I can use it in the motorhome. I can use it anywhere.
Yeah, you just cast it, right? You just cast it to whatever.
Just like us. We're castable, Will. Yeah. We are castable.
That's what we're doing right now. We're casting a pod. Whenever I get that message from Wayne, it'll be like, when are we casting a pod?
That's what we do here on the Dog Show Drive. All right. Off to the races. I don't mean that technically. I'm not going to the Derby. But off to the races, packing, sorting, all those wonderful things we get to do. But most of all, it's always wonderful to see you electronically, young William. I hope we see you in the flesh soon. Peace be with you, brother.
Yeah. Everybody stay safe out there. Good luck in New York. Start spreading the news. It's a fabulous place to go. So.
Party on, Greg.
No way.
Way.
Got to be paying attention, Doc.
Thanks for the thanks, sir.
So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right.
We love you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Wayne!
I'm going to go!
Thanks, sir.
We didn't mention hockey either.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Put that in, Doc.
Yeah, they want to see it in a blueprint. This is good. We're going to be here in a second, Wayner.
Don't lose it, Doc.